Everybody, welcome to the Stabcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Mindy.
And we're here. To review the movie Split. We're back after a couple weeks, Mindy. The Stabcast is back.
Hootie fucking who?
We're bringing in the new year.
For all y'all that follow all of our social medias, so we're gonna have a little fun, little story time, real quick. Mindy tripped again and broke her phone, and then Mindy tripped again and got a concussion.
And broke her head.
And broke, like, I literally, like, I shattered my glasses in half. Like, guys, I'm struggling. I am on the struggle train going to Struggle City. So, right now.
Pray for Mindy, everybody.
Right now, I do not have access to anything. So, if all y'all are on the TikTok and you're like, they don't care about me, it's got nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with, I don't have anything to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
Like, I even tried to download TikTok on my husband's phone, but it won't let me in my profile. So it's just really weird. Hopefully we get it figured out. We get it back.
It's a whole fuss. I couldn't remember my password.
But.
And now me dancing to Megan Thee Stallion might be gone forever.
Oh, jeez.
So that's a heartbreaker in its own right.
Daniel with the pretty hands. No, Dougie with the pretty hands, sorry.
Yeah.
Daniel had pretty hands. Okay, so anyways, I just found out, this is not concrete, I'm not sure how concrete it is, but I just found out from somebody that there will be a Chucky season 3.
Oh, shit.
So we will see. For everybody that wanted to watch season 2, it is officially now up on Peacock for streaming. You can now stream both.
It's on the cock?
Yeah. You can stream both seasons now. Season 1 and season 2.
Very nice.
So, and that was an incredible, incredible show. I really liked it. For those of y'all that have not seen Wednesday yet, go ahead and check it out.
Dude, it's phenomenal. I watched it.
You did? You finally watched it?
I watched like 3 episodes the other night. And it was actually really good.
It's incredible. It's really, really good. And then for everyone out there that knows me, knows that I hate Squid Game. I hate it. Because there's another show very similar to Squid Game that came out right before Squid Game did. And that's called Alice in Borderland. And even though we're going to be waiting another year and a half for another season of Squid Game, like 2 years, we're on the second season of Alice in Borderland, and we're already queued in that next year we're getting a season, and the year after that we're getting another season.
Yeah.
So they're spitting it out more than the Squid Games are anyway. And this is a darker, deeper show. Squid Games for me is like little kid horror.
Yeah.
Alice in Borderlands, yeah, they do have games and stuff that you have to defeat and stuff, but it's so much more complex. The games are deadly.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a very complex series. Season 2, episode 6, I'm almost done, and I still have no idea what's going on. So, yeah, absolutely. Check it out. It's on Netflix, Alice in Borderlands, if you want something to watch in between your guys' Squid Game bullshit, because that's ridiculous. You guys have to wait 2 more years for your second season of your show. I apologize. That's horrible. That should
that
never
wasn't,
happen to anybody.
Yeah, that show was a weird phenomenon, though, because it did kind of take over for a little bit.
Yeah, but the thing is Alice in Borderlands, in my opinion, is a lot better, and it came out before it.
It did. It did come out before it, but it didn't have the moment that Squid Game had. Like, the whole world fucking watched that movie. That was the number one viewed movie on Netflix.
It's a TV show.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
I mean, I know what you guys are talking about. I'm just saying Alice in Borderlands, to me, was better because they don't have that huge budget behind them, making them having to do all these elaborate things, making it so they can't get it out within a year.
I don't think Squid Game had a big budget, though.
They do this year. Why do you think they're taking so
long? They do this year, for sure. Well, they made a lot of money. I'm sure.
All right. Well, let's get to the game at hand here. Daniel has picked the movie Split.
Yeah. I did want to say a couple. Can I say something about Wednesday?
Yes.
Because I think, like the girl in Split, what's her fucking
name? Taylor-Joy.
Anna Taylor-Joy. Amazing. I think she could be a potential scream queen, just like Ortega.
Jenna Ortega.
She's amazing. Not only is Wednesday, but of course in the Scream stuff, we really like, hopefully in the new movie, she's just as good and I don't have to eat my words, but I really do like her.
And she's done a lot. She's even done the Babysitter Killer Queen one, which she doesn't really mention.
I love that movie. Yeah.
Like when she gets like interviews and shit, like that's one that she doesn't really bring up. Also, she was an ex and she doesn't really bring that up either.
Mm-hmm.
But she's taking the world by storm.
She's going ham. She's the number one like actress right now. People like just
horror,
the face.
Yeah.
Wednesday was such a big hit.
Yeah.
And like that's the number one thing now. That's the Squid Game. I mean, it's kind of fading away now because those Netflix things usually have like a 3-week window being very popular and then they drop off. But great show. People seem to really like that. And, like, you can tell with her facial expression. She's just a really good actress. And, like, she doesn't even have to say a lot in that show.
Nope.
So, I think, and that makes a good scream queen.
And, also, I would like to bring this up, too. This makes a great actress. Because she wanted to be exactly like Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, she found out that Wednesday had fenced. So, this bitch gets herself into fencing classes. For like 3 months. So she knows how to fence. That was her fencing. There were no stunt doubles with that.
Yeah.
Also, she learned that she had to play the cello. So she got herself private cello lessons for the 3 songs that she performs in the series for 2 straight months. That's her in those scenes. Not anybody else. She's the one playing the cello. She's the one fencing. She's the one dancing.
Yeah.
There are no stunt doubles.
She's badass.
When it comes to her. I mean, later in the series, I'm not going to give it away because of Daniel. Later in the series, she did have to have one.
Yeah.
Because of something really dangerous. But, I mean, you can tell that that little girl was like, let me do all the stunts. I got this.
Yeah.
Because she loves horror. Like, she's one of the few scream queens out there that really love horror.
And she was really into the gothic stuff with the dress.
Exactly.
And
she loves the genre. She loves the macabre. She loves the morbidity. She loves that kind of stuff.
Which is awesome. And you can tell, and it shines through with the performance.
Absolutely.
But, all right, now we can talk about Split. Directed by M. Night Shyamalan. This came out in 2016, right? Yeah, 2017, January 20th, 2017. Made $278 million in the box office on a $9 million budget. So it was pretty cheap. It's one of the M. Night Shyamalan movies that people don't think is dog shit in the modern era. Because he's like, he took some big swings and some big hits with the...
And now this is a sequel, correct?
This is a sequel to Unbreakable technically, but it only really ties in at the end credits scene. And then and the third one with Glass.
Okay.
Like they do, like they show him in the...
they show Bruce Willis in the diner.
Right. But then they do the movie where they bring them all together. It was, I guess, their attempt at like a little franchise, a little universe. But
it didn't work out.
I mean, all the movies made money, so I guess it did work out.
Yeah.
But
I wanted to make that really known here, that it is technically a sequel. Like Daniel just said, it doesn't tie together until the end.
No.
Like, without the end credit scene, it would have been its own movie.
Exactly. It really is.
So, I'll have to I want to have to say this. As somebody that is as desensitized as I am, and somebody that has seen multiple personality disorders in her face, like I've had people that had that in the nursing home.
Yeah.
So this was so different than any other multiple personality or dissociative identity disorder will ever show. Like, this was phenomenal as far as showing the illness and the sickness growing inside of this young man, Kevin. No one ever normally has, like, more than 10 personalities. This man's got 24.
Yes.
And not only does he have 24 different personalities, but they're, like, people living in him.
Yeah.
Like, one of them has a peanut allergy. The other one has a fear of, like, the dark. And, like, it's just, like, what the hell? Like, one of them is lactose intolerant. The other one can't read. Like, so they all have their different personalities and their different flaws.
Yeah. I think the big ones are probably Dennis, Patricia, Barry, and then, obviously, the Beast.
And Hedwig.
Yes. Hedwig is a legend.
He told me that I could come up and play with you as long as I didn't touch your boobies.
He's like the fun one that kind of like adds some levity.
You
want
to go upstairs next to my window?
Let's just say.
That, I felt so bad for that girl when he had his window. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That poor thing. She's like, can I see your window? Thinking it's going to be a real window. And he shows her a friggin' picture of an open window and a closed window. It was like, oh, that's my window.
And Anna Taylor-Joy did a great job. But James fucking McAvoy is the man.
And he took over.
And
he really did.
He's such a good actor in general. And, like, he's one of the best, obviously, like, a young Professor X and also the Shameless stuff, too.
Yeah, but Anna did a really, really good job with her character, especially with the Hedwig thing. She realized to survive, she was going to have to get one of them on her side.
She did play off all the characters perfectly, I'd say. And
yeah.
She kind of figured out, and the movie was fun watching her figure out how to manage through.
Yeah.
With each personality and talk to each
But it was weird because she was the only one out of the three girls that got that perspective, that got in that.
Yeah.
That got in his head and made him question stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she wasn't even supposed to be there.
Nope.
I mean, in the beginning of the movie, she was not supposed to be there. She was supposed to get picked up from the King of Prussia Mall. Oh, my God, that's really weird because we're 40 minutes away from it. In the mall.
That's funny.
At KOP, she was doing some kind of, like, color me mind, something for her art class. And she got invited by a pig invite. And she's waiting for her dad, waiting. Or her uncle, I guess. And he never shows up. And she's like, well, I guess he's not coming. I'm just going to take the bus. Well, popular girl's dad is like, no. You're not taking the bus. You're coming with us. And that put a target on her back because Kevin / Barry / Dennis had already been staking out the other two girls.
Yes.
To be his victims.
Yes.
So he takes out the main popular chick's dad with gas. He doesn't kill him. And then he goes up to the front and wait for the girls to react. And it takes them a little bit. It's really weird.
Yeah.
It takes them about maybe like 30 seconds to a minute to realize that that's not the right person. And it's like, God, what? I'd be screaming bloody murder. I'd be out of that car.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for poor Anna because she did try. Because she didn't freak out like the other girls.
No.
So at first she didn't spray gas in her face.
No.
But then she accidentally pulled on the door handle, and that pissed
bad
him
move,
off.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he ended up gassing her as well. But he was always very clear that she was not what he wanted.
Yeah.
And that she was kind of just there by mistake.
Yeah.
He made that perfectly clear. Like, the other two, they were sacrifices. She accidentally got picked up.
Yep. And even like Patricia and the other ones knew that too.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about this thing is that it's half like kind of a bad guy origin movie for him.
Mm-hmm.
And like people call it a stealth sequel.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a stealth sequel, the first ever one, because it's a sequel to Unbreakable, but it wasn't marketed like that at all. They
mm-hmm.
don't sneak it for the end. But also, so it's a juggle of that and like a bad guy becoming, and I think this is before like Joker and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like one of the first like bad guy origins where it's like this guy, you're walking through him before he's the main villain of Glass, the third movie.
I wouldn't have to say that it was the first just because Leatherface had come out around the same exact time.
Yeah,
and
but I'd say more like
is an origin story as well.
It was an origin, but I'd say this is because it's like half, and that's what I was kind of getting to. It's half like supervillain, instead of not like, you know, horror, more like supervillain origin for him, but also like horror movie for Taylor Joy, and like how she's reacting, and she's like a final girl in like one of those situations.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like kind of a bad guy origin for him. Instead of just a serial killer, you know?
Yeah.
But it is an origin. I mean, Leatherface was an origin. It did really get into him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, Leatherface, they did an amazing job with that movie. And you all know that I do not like sex and incest in my horror. I don't. Unfortunately, there is a scene of that. I skip through it. It's not that long. You can skip through it. But if you've never watched Leatherface, give it a watch. I mean, if you like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and you want to figure out what the hell happened to him to make him act like that, give it a watch.
Yeah.
It's not going to do you any harm. It's actually a really good movie.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely.
I loved it. But, I mean, I also had to skip parts. But
yeah.
I still loved it. But I would say this one definitely is more of a supervillain origin story.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was like for a horror. And you're right, Leatherface is one of the first like horror origin stories. So that's a big deal too. But this was because it ties in with Unbreakable. And it becomes a bit like M. Night Shyamalan's trying to go comic booky a little bit and have fun, like do a little scary MCU for 3 months.
Yeah, as long as we don't get to as long as we don't have to see another village go down, I'm good.
Yeah, I think we're probably done now, especially after Glass, they kind of put a little stamp on it from what I remember.
Well, he's got a new movie coming out anyway. I told you guys this. Knock at the Cabin will be out in February.
Yeah, but that's unrelated to this, right?
Yeah.
It's just
another Shyamalan. Standalone Shyamalan movie.
Shyamalan.
I give up.
You did pretty good.
I did.
And Old was from him, too. And that's unrelated, too. But it's like this is...
He's still making movies.
He's still making
point.
Movies. And some of them are all right. And then other ones are kind of, This one was good. This one, I think this one and The Visit really stand out in the modern age Shyamalan. It's like good. And then you got like the Avatar Last Airbender fucking box office bomb bullshit.
He should not do things that are not horror.
No.
Like, he, oh my God, I don't know why he has such a hard time doing things that aren't horror. I really don't. And I'm actually going to bring up this man.
He's better with creepy. You're right.
I'm going to bring up this man as well. Guillermo del Toro. Daniel knows who I'm talking about. He is a very, very, very known director.
Yeah.
And producer in the horror universe.
Yes.
But also, this man, he can literally do anything you want him to do.
Yeah.
He can literally direct any fucking movie
that
you want him to do. You tell him what you want, that's it.
He's done.
He's got it. He's going to do it. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And I will have to say, this man went out and made a new movie called The Adventures of Pinocchio. And it is a musical.
Del Toro, and that's different than the Tom Hanks one. Yes,
yeah.
I was reading about this.
It's a musical, but also, guys, it took him 3 fucking years because he did what nobody in horror actually normally does, is stop motion, clay motion.
Yes.
That's what he did.
Yeah, clay
motion. So not only was this completely out of his ballpark, with the genre, but then it was completely out of his ballpark with the artist, with the artistry, and he still pulled it off. I haven't watched the entire thing. I've only watched like an hour through because if you, when it comes to my musicals, if you don't really have a good voice, I really don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's up in the air, and it's also the way that Del Toro does it is he takes the Brothers Grimm story of Pinocchio, and that's the story that you're getting. You're not getting the Disney bullshit.
Yes.
It's very dark, but also very lighthearted at the same time, and that's why I'm bringing him up, because M. Night Shyamalan tries to be that type of director that can do those different things, that can do different genres.
Absolutely, and switch it.
He can't. I don't think he can.
No, and I think this was the closest that he did and succeeded, and this was still horror.
Absolutely.
But Glass was kind of the closest one that he kind of succeeded with, and Unbreakable and stuff like that. Even though those are kind of have a scary tone too.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. He does kind of need that horror element.
But Guillermo del Toro like took a horror element completely out of it.
Yeah.
And just made it kind of creepy, but that's it.
Yeah.
And then.
Because he's good with dark stuff. Because I mean, like Hellboy is one of the most underrated characters, and that movie was fun. You put, who would have thought Ron Perlman and demon makeup would be fucking, that's not even CGI yet. We're not there yet. And that movie was fucking amazing.
Well, that's why as soon as I saw that he had done a Pinocchio movie, I had to watch it immediately.
Yeah.
As soon as it popped up on my Netflix that it was Guillermo del Toro's Adventures of Pinocchio, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And Kevin's like, what is this? I'm like, I don't know. I think it's a musical just because it should be, like, that's just the way the fairy tales are. I'm like, but I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, who knows?
And it's been pretty good so far. But that's basically why I brought up that director as well, though. Because that just seemed to be a thing. Also, with Blumhouse, especially when Jason Blum has the helm. I love you guys. You know I do. Jason Blum, you know I love you. But I don't think you're that good. Don't think you got it down just yet. Because whenever they put you behind the project, we end up with a rinky-dink mess of a story.
I mean, I think they were like kind of critical darlings at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of went downhill. Especially like Halloween, like the first one. It's like, oh, Blum knows what they're doing. Like fucking like this.
Yeah, but
cool.
Then they came out with that Ma movie. And it's like, wait, now maybe they don't know.
Yeah, it's like Ma sucks. And then fucking like Halloween Kills comes out. And you're like, ugh. And then it's like a couple of other things.
And like, and there's a few movies that they did. They did Freaky too. Like there is a few.
Freaky's good.
There's, like I said, it's either hit or miss.
Yeah.
Like, Blumhouse, unfortunately, has become the M. Night Shyamalan of producers, unfortunately.
It absolutely
You
has.
Either love it or you hate it.
I agree, and that's why it's a perfect duo. But it this works, and that's why, like, I don't want to go walk away from that, because this is a good movie.
It is.
This is actually a damn good movie, and it's a good – it's not like a slasher. It's not any genre. It's just like – it's good, almost like The Black Phone was, and not just from a prisoner, and then like, but like what we wanted to see from Ethan Hawke and more of that personality, we got from James McAvoy.
I definitely
you know, you really
agree.
Got the villain, like you really got in his psyche a lot more, which is what we wanted from that. We didn't really get. We got a lot from him, while also the final girl doing her thing and having not final girl because she's really the only one, but still like she. Like, she played the role perfectly. He was a good, like, psychopath that's, like, has a good heart. And then in Summit, like, when he's Hedwig, you feel bad. And when he's, like, Barry, he's kind of a dick. But
and his other personalities realize that something's wrong. So they actually reach out to his psychiatrist.
Yeah.
To be like, help us, help us, help us, help us. And he, the bad guy, the main bad guy inside his head, Dennis, goes and tries to portray himself as Barry, the guy who keeps everything under control, and is like, oh no, I don't know why that's happening. Like, I'm just not sleeping well. I'm stressed out. And it's like, no, like, you have three kids in your basement.
Yeah.
Like, you are not just freaking out and not sleeping well. Like, you're a sicko is what you are.
Yeah, but only a couple of them are. Some of them are actually pretty cool.
Well, I mean...
But Dennis is fucked.
Dennis and Patricia are...
Patricia's kind of cool, though. I mean, she's nuts.
Yeah, but Patricia kind of reminds me of, like, the mother figure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
of course.
Even, like, the movie The Basement where they had the mom
but
that gave him the razor blade.
Without Patricia, though, his role isn't as iconic as it is.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
It shows the range that he can do,
and
he really knocks it out of the fucking
park.
Him
as Patricia was able to tell Dennis that he wasn't allowed to touch the girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, Dennis, like, it's easy to play a scumbag. And I'm not an actor, so, like, it probably wouldn't be easy for me, but for someone like James McAvoy, it's pretty easy to play a scumbag. But showing your range is playing, like a mother figure, like a grown woman, and, like, being a bossy, like, and he just did it well. And it didn't seem corny or canned. It just seemed real. You didn't laugh or chuckle at it too
much.
I didn't
even laugh when he was Hedwig, honestly. I mean,
I did it to Kanye.
I laughed at the Kanye West.
Yeah,
because that was just absolutely hysterical.
Yeah,
but
he just showed such good range with this performance. It really shined on him as an actor the whole movie.
Absolutely,
and that's why I keep trying to. Because she did good, like in her role and like being this scared girl that was stuck, but also smart and figuring shit out and crafty and not your usual, not like some dumb.
She
kind of
like
chick.
Did a reverse. What's that syndrome where you kind of just like give in to your kidnapper? Berlin.
Yeah.
No, Stockholm syndrome.
She kind of pretended to have that.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't have it, but you could tell she was pretending.
Yeah. No, definitely. And with this and Last Night in Soho, like, I'm fucking sold on her. She's a good actress. She's fucking awesome. She knows what she's doing. And
she's a little cutie. I will have to say, she's cute.
Yeah. I don't disagree, but she's a great actress. And I like this movie. I like The Therapist. I thought The Therapist was...
Dr. Fletcher was amazing.
Yeah.
I loved her so much, and I felt so bad for that poor lady.
And when she finds out that he's impersonating Barry, Dennis's, she gets super pissed.
Well, of course she gets pissed, because she's like, what the hell? Like, I'm trying to help you guys.
Yeah.
And y'all just tricked me.
Yeah, what the fuck? And it's like, it was kind of cool, like, the personalities, like, that, like, I'm going to get one over. I'm going to pretend to be this guy, even though, like, it just, it puts another
angle. And how they were, like,
it's good.
I just love how, like, they were emailing her in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I mean, like, hey, please help us. We need your help. Dennis and Patricia have taken over.
Yeah.
And, like, then he comes in for an emergency session, and she's like, Tina, why are you here? Well, of course. Here's my pictures.
Yeah.
You're not Barry.
You're not Barry.
Yes, I am. No. Because I've had my fingers on your pictures for about 10 minutes, and Barry wouldn't let me do that.
Yeah.
Barry is obsessive compulsive. He would not let me handle his photos. Well, then maybe you cured me then, Doc. And she knew right then, right there, that it was not Barry that she was speaking to. And she let it go for a while. She really did. She let it go for a really long time.
She did.
And then towards like the end of the movie, she's just like, who the hell am I talking to? Because I know I'm not talking to Barry. And like, they just go silent on her. And she's like, come on, Patricia, Dennis, whichever one it is that's in control, come on, talk to me.
And then Dennis just starts talking super like suave, like how he talks.
Mm.
And it's like, Jesus, it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, and she's just like, you're not going to trick me. You're never going to trick me. This person is my patient.
Yeah. That's true. She knew her shit. She wasn't fucking around.
No, she knew exactly how each and every one of them acted.
It's just kind of cool that this all takes place in Philly.
Yeah, I know. M. Night Shyamalan is ridiculous.
Philly love, baby.
Philadelphia. Actually... My fiance wants to take me on a trip to go see one of M. Night Shyamalan's filming places, and I don't want to go because he wants to take me to Lancaster to go visit the site of The Village. Who wants to actually go on a fucking vacation to go see the worst movie of all time set?
Yeah, I didn't like them.
I don't care about their set.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, literally, like, they lost me halfway through the movie, and I woke up, and they're like, oh, it's the monsters on the other side, it's their people. What?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're hiding from in modern day society? Jesus.
Yeah, it's not enough.
So, I mean, will I probably go? Yeah, I'm a shit talker. I probably will go. But it's just not the most intriguing.
Yeah, it's not fucking Paris or Maui, you know?
Yeah, like, I'd rather, like, go visit, like, the Bronx and see where Candyman's from.
Oh, I mean, just go to the Philadelphia Zoo and do this one.
Watch the monkeys.
But I thought Casey was really good in this movie when she shot him at the end. All the personalities coming out and kind of revealing little stuff to her and her figure and her way through a couple different puzzles. Not puzzles, but just like getting like Hedwig to tell her shit that he's not supposed to. And then he gets all mad.
And getting her to bring him to his bring her to his window.
Yeah.
And like he thinks that like she understands that it's a fake window, but then like when he sees her disappointment, he's like, wait a minute, did you want this window to be real so you could run away from me?
Yeah.
And she's just like, no, I would never do that to you. I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, don't lie to me. I know that that's what you were doing. And it's like, oh wow, he is a smart little shit.
He was a smart little shit. It was fun. That was kind of a comedic relief moment, too. Like, you felt bad for her, but it's also like, oh, my God.
The little lisp, too. I mean, I loved Hedwig. He was one of my favorite characters. He was so cute.
He was probably my favorite person.
Patricia said that I can come into the light as long as I'm a good boy. And it's like, oh, my God. He's so cute. And Kevin, my fiance, looks over, and he's like, he's a grown man.
Yeah.
And a freaking rain suit. What the hell are you watching? Like, stop. He's 9. And he is like, he is not 9, Mindy. He's a grown-ass man. And I was like, Hedwig is 9. Okay? And I actually don't think he's 9. I think he's like 12. But anyways, he's still a little boy.
That's nuts. Now, the end when Kevin figures out that he hasn't been in control in a very long time.
And that poor thing.
And he's just like, fucking kill me.
Yeah, he tells her, he's like, hey, there's a gun in this place. Go get it, load it up, and shoot me before I can hurt you.
Yeah.
Like, the people in my head are absolutely out of control. I can't control them anymore. I can't even try to. I need you to shoot me.
Yeah, it's been like a couple years, right? Since he's been in control.
Mm-hmm.
So he was freaking the fuck out. He's like, kill me. And then Patricia takes over again. And she tells him to eat a dick. And she's like, he's gone forever. He won't be able to even call back. And then she gives control to the beast. And the beast fucking, you know.
Starts drinking girls' blood.
Yeah. And gets ready for war. And
the beast was weird.
The movie worked, though, because it was a build-up to that. And, like, he was going to be the most evil part of him, right?
Yeah.
So, like, and it worked, and it was
cool. And
they all
talked about him a lot, like, especially Hedwig. Hedwig is really scared of the beast.
Yeah.
You don't know. He's coming.
Yeah, they built him up. Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, oh, my God. Like, how does he even know who this is?
Yeah, who's the beast?
Like, you don't even know who this guy is. But he's like, watch out for the beast. The beast will hurt you.
Yeah. And Casey fucked him up. She shot him.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it to little Casey. She was a boss.
She was a boss.
I mean, she even killed her dad.
She did.
Shot her fucking father.
She did what she
did
had to
her
do.
Father or her uncle?
No, she shot her father because her uncle was molesting her and her dad wasn't listening.
Yeah, I thought it was
the uncle. So she shot her father.
I thought it was the
No, because at the very end of the movie, Shane, by the way, guys, this is Aunt Sharon's little thing. At the very end of the movie, they say, hey, sweetheart, come on, your uncle's here to pick you up.
Oh, okay.
And it takes her a while to get up out of the chair and to go outside because she doesn't want to go with them. But they definitely say, your uncle's here.
Okay.
And they also have a scene where her, a flashback scene where she's a little itty-bitty baby. And the dad's sitting in front of her, and she's trying to tell the dad what's going on, and he won't listen to her, so she shoots him.
Damn.
I mean, that was a little bit too much because the kid was like six.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit too much. I mean, you can't really convince me that a six-year-old little girl can hold up a shotgun.
She did.
I know, but with that kickback and whatnot, like, she would have gotten so hurt. Earth.
Yeah.
Like, she would have flung right into a tree.
Yeah.
That could never, it just could never happen. And that's one thing that I have a problem with Mr. Shyamalan. He always is trying to one-up himself. But then sometimes he realizes, wait, if I do this, then I'm going to be making the rest of the story stupid. Yeah, let's just do it anyway. Let's just see if it fixes. Let's just see if it sticks. Let's see if we can do it.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't hate M. Night Shyamalan like everybody else does. I don't hate him. But do I think he's an amazing director? No. Do I think he's okay? Yes. Do I think he needs a lot more work? Absolutely.
Well, I mean, I don't know if there needs to be more.
No,
sure.
He needs to, like, get himself in
yeah.
some director classes.
He's
in writing classes.
Well, I mean, he's
oh,
got
shit,
some classes.
He lives near us. Sorry, Sharon.
He's got some classics. He's got some, like, obviously the I See Dead People and the shit. Like it just, early Shyamalan is really good.
I'm so sick of hearing that fucking line.
Yeah, but he's the king of the twist. The only thing is that he started to depend on it, and it kind of turned on him.
Lady in the Water and The Visit were the two worst movies that he had ever came out with.
The Visit?
No, Village, sorry, not The Visit.
Oh, I was going to say, The Visit with
no.
the old people?
No, The Village and Lady in the Water.
Yeah. He's had some shitty movies, but he's this one's not one of them. This is a good movie. And this is something that, and there's not really a bad twist at the end. Just, but I mean, the Beast thinks she's, I mean, I like the pure shit. I like she's pure, she's been abused, so I'm not going to hurt her. Like the Beast. It shows that
yeah,
he's got some compassion.
Yeah, it was very weird. He had a very weird way of looking at being clean and
yeah.
being spiritually dirty. He had a very weird way of observing self.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little weird. But, and then, I mean, it's not really a twist, but then you got the cameo at the end that it's like, oh shit, this is a sequel. And no one fucking realized.
That's what happened to me, guys. So I'm sitting there, and this diner pops up, and I'm like, wait, you went to a diner? And then, like, you see, like, all of these things about Kevin and whatnot in the news, and someone's like, oh, my God, who would do something like that to that poor man? And then there's Bruce Willis going, oh, Dr. Glass. Who is Dr. Glass? Who are you?
Yeah. Do you think it took away from the film at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, because it brought it in to something it wasn't. It took it from being a theatrical masterpiece on its own to throwing it into the middle of a series.
Yeah, franchise.
And I don't think that was the right trilogy for it.
No, maybe not, because it didn't feel like... And I'm fine, like, you want to do some more stuff with the Beast. You want him to be the big bad of the next one. Like, I understand, but this just felt different. This felt too horror-ish to try to do that with.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, my fiancé tried telling me from the get-go that it was a supervillain story, and I just wasn't picking up on that.
Well, no, because, like, if you watch Unbreakable, this, and Glass, you will think, oh, this is a supervillain story. But the movie itself, it does not feel – it's fighting with itself. That's kind of what I was saying earlier, that to me it's fighting to be that, but it's also this horror movie with this girl, Casey, that's going through her own thing, and she's the hero of it all, you know? And she's not in Glass, right? Or is she? I forgot.
I don't know, because I didn't see Glass.
She is in Glass.
She is?
All right, I'll go fuck myself. But, so Casey sticks around, but is she a big part of it?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Don't see it on here. Yeah.
She's outcast?
This movie, maybe. No. This movie really worked for me in various ways, and I do think it fought with itself to be that supervillain, but also to be kind of like this horror movie. And I do think the balance worked out all right in the end, but it is a little jarring. Like, what the fuck's Bruce Willis doing here? There is that moment when this feels like a standalone thing. It doesn't feel like a sequel. There should have been a hint or two. There should have been a news report earlier, too, on the TV. There should have been something else to, like, there should have been something about Mr. Glass, just something. But there wasn't. And then you don't get it to the end. And that's why people call it a stealth sequel. And I don't know if it works, to be honest.
I don't like stealth sequels just because of the way that it all comes together in the end. What I don't normally like about them, because they're a little bit too stealthy.
Yeah.
They're so stealthy that you don't even know what you're watching at the end of the day. And you're kind of like, wait, what the hell is going on? Where are we?
Exactly. Exactly. But, yeah. How many personalities would you give this out of 10? We're out of 23, yes.
Let's say 8.
Okay. I go 8, too. Or 8.5, something like that. It was really fucking good.
It was good. It was really good for what it was trying to accomplish.
I thought it did a damn good job. I thought, again, Anya Taylor-Joy did her thing, and so did McAvoy. And two good leads and a really good movie by M. Night Shyamalan.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of his better modern ones.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it did get a little fucked up at the end, but it does take away from the movie, but it doesn't make it bad.
No.
The movie was still phenomenal, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
A 20-second scene doesn't ruin that.
And it was still better than The Black Phone.
It was better than The Black Phone.
I mean, I'm sorry. That movie was good, but it wasn't what I wanted it to be.
No, there was some good scenes. But
I know, but how are you going to say starring Ethan Hawke when he's in it legit for like 20 minutes?
Yeah.
He literally has 4 scenes that are 5 minutes apiece.
Yeah, he should have had a little more character work like this had.
That's like Terrifier 2 and Chris Jericho being like, oh, I starred it. And then you find out that he's not even in it until the end credit scene where he gets a 30-second scene of him stuffing his face with Christmas cookies.
I love Christmas cookies.
That's not – I know you do.
I love your Christmas.
But that's not staring.
That's
starring.
Not yeah, you're right.
Chris Jericho.
You are right.
That is not starring. That is a cameo.
Yeah. That was a false statement by him.
There's not need to be an interview about that. If you want to interview someone, interview Art the Clown. That's who I would like to get interviewed. Not you. You weren't even in it.
So we will probably be back sometime in the new year. I don't know if it's going to be Sunday or not. But
we are going to keep doing this.
Oh, yeah, of course, we're going to keep doing Sundays, but I don't know how this weekend's going to pan out with New Year's and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll see. But there's definitely going to be Stabcast in the new year, and there's going to be one next week, so check that out. We'll let know days. Do you have a movie in mind, or you want to go over behind the scenes?
Well, let's go over it behind the scenes, because I have a couple.
All right, sounds good. And this was a lot of fun, Mindy. It's nice to be back. And
great to be back.
Hootie who?
Hootie fucking who, guys?
We will be back on the TikTok very soon, and I will be posting an update on the Facebook.
All right. Bye, guys. Good night.